So you're in the middle of ministry, and apparently things are going wrong. They're headed south. Is that because the Lord is against you? Well, not always the case. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Today, we turn our attention to the book of Acts. Chapter 28 is where we catch up with Pastor Chris Gordon. Message simply entitled, "And So We Came to Rome." Beginning there, there's a moment where the Apostle Paul is bitten by a snake. Everyone seems to think he's a murderer. Well, that's not always the case, as we're finding out. We'll even turn to Job for a few supporting actors as well. Here's Pastor Chris with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
After we were brought safely through, we learned that the island was called Malta. The native people showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and welcomed us all because it had begun to rain and was cold. When Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. When the native people saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, "No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live." He, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. They were waiting for him to swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But when they had waited a long time and saw no misfortune came to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. Now in the neighborhood of that place were lands belonging to the chief man of the island named Publius, who received us and entertained us hospitality for 3 days. It happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hands on him, healed him. And when this had taken place, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases also came and were cured. They also honored us greatly, and when we were about to sail, they put on board whatever we needed. After 3 months, we set sail in a ship that had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days. And from there, we made a circuit and arrived at Rhegium. And after 1 day, a south wind sprang up. And on the second day, we came to Puteoli. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome. And the brothers there, when they had heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. And seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who guarded him. And there ends this morning the reading of God's word. Well, today we come to the last chapter in our study of the book of Acts. And we really do have an encouraging section that the book leaves us with. You always want to note the end of books and what the authors are doing and how they leave a great impression on us about something. And usually it's the main theme of the book that is being pressed down on us so that we leave with a right and proper understanding of what everything has been about. And you're going to see that come together hopefully today and next week. Its purpose here particularly is to show us how the power of Jesus and his kingdom has prevailed against all the darkness of Satan's power. It challenges us in that regard as the kingdom is breaking through and Jesus' power is being shown in surprising ways and ways that we don't usually expect. It challenges us as to whether we are carrying forward the ministry in this confidence and in the intention of our Savior, who desired, as he said, to leave us here so that the nations would hear the truth of the gospel. That's why we exist. That's why we're here, that the gospel would indeed go to the ends of the earth. As I've said in the course of this study, the church today has struggled, I think, in so many sad ways with its mission and mandate in light of a changing culture. And the particular reason that we're struggling today, I believe, if we can put it in different categories a little bit, it is actually due to the intense darkness of Satan's activity in our present time. That the dark opposition of Satan himself is really rising up right now against the church and against the witness at this late hour of history. And as stuff is happening that we don't understand, as stuff is happening that is different than even years ago as we experienced it, as there's progression in wickedness, as the scriptures talk about, things become very confusing and we don't quite know what to do. We don't quite know what to handle it. So we're grasping for answers. We're hoping that we can come to answers by plotting out new answers and giving new ways to solve all of the darkness that is invading us. But the end of Acts is telling us something very important. It's telling us to be careful. It's telling us to look carefully at Paul's response to all of this and to go forward as the apostles went forward, passing on to us the deposit and the baton of faith so that we would be confident in the Lord's work and that no matter what's happening, his purposes are being fulfilled. And that's what we're going to see today as we begin to close out this study. We're looking at this particular passage this morning through the lens of what the Lord said. It is through much tribulation, through much opposition, that we enter the kingdom of God. And we see this when everything is against us. We see this in Satan's rage against the church and the Lord's purpose to destroy the devil's power. And I think that should have a profound effect on us as we go forward and move on from the book of Acts. In the last section, we studied the great shipwreck. Remember, there's nothing recorded in ancient literature that is this detailed about the ship and then, of course, a shipwreck. So this was a remarkable section to study, making the point as I looked at that particular passage that the apostles were not even exempt from the struggles of creation that raged against them, which you would think if God is in control of all creation, they would be exempt and they would have a peaceful path ahead in the ministry. Well, that wasn't the case. How many natural disasters have taken out churches and how many natural disasters have stopped mission work? We can talk about that. But as I opened up chapter 28, I realized that Luke is pressing upon the church something that I believe we should never forget. And to help us understand, again, as we leave the study, what we are involved with in the church and in the ministry as we do this work in the Lord's name. What we read here as we open up chapter 28 is that after Paul had been brought safely to land, they landed at this place and the island was called Malta. I'm sure some of you have been there and some of you have seen this place. The native people of the land, of course, of the island, we read, were very kind to Paul and Luke and his crew. They gave them a warm welcome, seeing them having to swim in after the shipwreck. Imagine that. Some of them holding on to planks from the boat, boards from the boat, into the island. Verse 3 says that Paul wanted to help as these natives, seeing that they were cold and seeing that they were shivering from the waters, decided to make them a fire, showing kindness to them. And Paul decided to help out with this project. Paul wanted to be a help to them, so there he is gathering up sticks to help build the fire. As he did this, we read that a viper sprung out of the sticks and lashed onto his arm and hand, everyone knowing it is a venomous snake and that Paul is certainly doomed. That's immediately what the natives of the island thought. You'll notice that there, that the native people showed us this kindness, but when this viper had come out, they saw the creature hanging from his hand, and they said to one another, no doubt, this man is a murderer. It shows the superstition. It shows everything that they believed. But it's quite a remarkable moment. It's quite a perspective change, isn't it? That something happens here. This viper leaps onto Paul and springs onto Paul. And then when they see nothing happens, of course, they then switch and so quickly believe that he is a god, from a murderer to a god. It's a fascinating section that you wrestle a little bit as a pastor to know what to do with. What do you make of this? How do you preach this? What is the point here? Isn't it something, though, that when an event happens that we consider as evil, notice how people's perspectives so quickly change. How quickly people will view the things that happen in the worst possible light. It may not be as primitive as the natives of the island thinking all of a sudden in superstition that Paul, of course, is now a murderer. But I want you to think about the shift of perspective that comes so quickly here of how they're viewing Paul. How many times have we looked at somebody and something happens to them, and the way that the event that happens to them frames how we think about them, what we think that is happening to them, and we all kind of raise our eyes and stand back from series of bad events and things that happen, and we have questions. We have questions. What in the world is this? Is God judging them? Maybe this bad thing has happened in the course of their lives, and it shows that something is wrong, we think. When something bad happens to someone, this is exactly how we think. We think that the Lord has somehow turned against them, or something is a fault in their ministry. Putting this in ministry terms, something has gone wrong in ministry. You'll see where I'm going with this, but I want you to think for a moment of how we respond to things that happened, noticing the natives' response. I'm particularly taken by what God allowed Satan to do to Job. Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only do not stretch out your hand against him, right? So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and in one day, what happened? Every evil under the sun that could happen to the man. He lost his children through disaster. He lost his money. He lost his livestock. He lost his health. What a thing to process. And then came the responses. Eliphaz. Who that was innocent has ever perished? Those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Not helpful, is it? Bildad. See, God will not reject a blameless person nor take the hand of evildoers. Zophar. If iniquity is in your hand, put it far away, Job. Don't let wickedness reside in your tents. Surely then you will lift up your face without blemish. You will be secure and will not fear. Your life will be brighter than the noonday. Everyone has an answer, don't they? In the midst of hardship. Everyone has an answer. Everyone has a perspective. Now, I think this ties to the thought here. I think it ties to the thought. He got bit. That just doesn't happen. He's a murderer. He's a murderer. He will die. And as you look at this and you start thinking about what God is showing us here, they're all waiting for the death to happen. And of course, the remarkable thing in this particular section is nothing indeed does happen to him. We read that for a long time they waited. There was no swelling up. There was no dropping dead. And they had no other conclusion than to say, this guy is a god in the opposite end of the spectrum. Now, I don't believe that's meant to be separated from chapter 27 and the shipwreck. You have the shipwreck of all shipwrecks described in the Bible with fascinating detail. It was so bad that the ship broke up and these guys had to swim in the winter waters into Malta. And then a snake comes out and bites Paul, which in any other circumstance would have indeed killed him. Both should have killed him. And the first conclusion is that everything and every circumstance Paul has faced and the apostles have faced, Luke along with them, everything that they have faced has made the trip to Rome impossible. That's what we should be reading. Everything that he has faced has made the trip to Rome impossible. Impossible. Everything is working against the God-appointed destination. And I think the first inclination in ministry is to say that when opposition comes or when something like these things happen, the first inclination is to say, we've done something wrong. And so we think that God is against this. How many times have we been frustrated? Things go badly, and you can apply this right to life. Things go poorly, and we have hardship, and we have pain, and we have suffering, and we have opposition, and we think, what in the world is this? How could this not show that if God were a God to me and loved me, He would not allow these things to happen? And my question is, did Paul look at things this way? Did he ever look at things this way? That's not where Luke ends up, is it? Everything is most certainly under his providential care and control. But let me ask you this. What would the Jews have thought about the storm and the snake? The sea and the storm all throughout the Old Testament was constantly associated with chaos and evil powers in opposition to God. So as a Leviathan. In that day, the Lord with his hand and great and strong, notice that say what it says here, the great and strong sword will pair, he will punish. The Leviathan will, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. They didn't read that as any other way other than great opposition was against the kingdom of God. John Stott, when he was evaluating this passage, drew this conclusion. We need to remember that the sea was reminiscent of from evil chaos, was a regular Old Testament symbol of evil powers in opposition to God. It was not the forces of nature, water, wind, and snake, which were arrayed against Paul, but the demonic forces at work through them. Paul's been saying it the whole time. Paul told the Thessalonians that he longed to visit them, that he wanted to visit them, and that he couldn't visit them. Why? Remember what he said? Satan hindered us. Satan himself. In the last chapter, you'll remember what Paul says. Jesus sent him in the gospel ministry to break people from the power of Satan to God. That's chapter 26, actually, when he was speaking to Agrippa. It was Satan who had filled Simon the sorcerer's heart. Remember, he says, lest Satan, 2 Corinthians 11, should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. And Paul said in the ministry, in the church, as there are different vessels, that there are times that people are taken captive by the power of Satan to do his will. Now, how do you think you should be reading this? Satan and his demonic realm is doing everything in his power to stop the apostles' witness in coming to Rome. Everything. These things are meant to be read as great oppositions to the ministry, great oppositions to the witness of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's the intention of this. And what is his point? Satan's power is very great in this present age. There are demonic forces at work in places and things that you have no idea, and that things are happening behind the scenes that we just don't even think about, that are very much directly tied to the satanic realm. And I think the message here is very clear for the church. At times, that rage will rise up against us in its worst forms. You remember Revelation 12. This is exactly what it was all about. That after the ascension of Jesus came, and after he was seated on the throne, remember what Revelation described there? And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He was thrown down to the earth, and his angels were thrown down with him. But woe to you, O earth and sea, for the devil has come down to you in great wrath, because he knows his time is short. And that serpent poured water like a river out of his mouth after the woman, the church, to sweep her away with the flood. But the earth came to the help of the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed the river that the dragon had poured forth from his mouth. Revelation 12. So you need to understand that in times of terrible opposition, in times of great opposition, there is no other explanation than that. That what has happened is the direct satanic assault of the devil. He's trying everything he can to stop our testimony. And he's good at it. We should never look at the evil things that happen to people and just assume that they failed or they sinned. I think it's important to say, be careful what you read in our day. Be really careful. I have to say that pastorally. Everyone has an answer to the things that happen. Whenever there's some event, whenever there's some tragedy, whenever there's something that's all over the news, placed all over the news, be careful of the news reports the next day and everyone who's the first one to speak out on it and have the answers. The ignorance is just as bad as Job's friends. Just as bad. What is the message here? It's not that God was somehow causing the evil to come upon them, or that Paul's ministry was faulty. Look what he's going through. It was that through all this evil, he's overruling it. Through all this stuff happening, he's overcoming it. Through all of it, he is showing in remarkable wisdom his power to destroy it. That's what you should see. The end of the shipwreck, after a long section of an impossibility of getting out of the ocean, you remember what happened? It ends in chapter 27 with, "And they arrived safely to the land." After the end of the snake bite that should have killed him, the outcome was they changed their minds because of him. Why? Because he didn't die. And this man named Publius now becomes this great open door, and you could read about him in history, this great open door for the gospel on the island as Paul is now able to minister there and preach the gospel through the power of Jesus as many are healed. What does it tell you? What it tells you is God is destroying the power of the devil on the earth, that God is helping the woman and the church, and no matter what the opposition is, no matter how bad it looks, no matter how discouraging it all is, he will prevail. That's the message. And we have to believe that. We have to believe that. We have to trust that. Even though you may never see that in the midst of a shipwreck. You never see that when the viper's hanging on the arm. The first great encouragement is Jesus is indeed in control of it all, and Jesus is directing it to his great purpose. And if you don't understand this, you're going to be completely perplexed in the ministry, always searching for answers, always judging wrongly, and never coming to a good understanding of what your mission is. He's on the throne, and he's given us a call.
Well, we are out of time today. We'll close today's program out. But look forward to seeing you next time we get together as we continue our studies here in God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon here on Abounding Grace. Questions, comments about the program, we always are delighted when you take a moment and reach out to us. You can do so by email, questions@agradio.org. Again, questions@agradio.org. Now, that may be the address, but you are more than welcome to send along suggestions, comments, praise reports, prayer requests, not just questions alone. Again, you can reach us at questions@agradio.org. You can learn more about us at agradio.org. Also, listen to past radio programs. Again, that's agradio.org. Or call us, 888-504-8805. Again, that's 888-504-8805. We are also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Visit our website for those links to the platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. And then, as always, we are excited when our listening audience comes alongside of us financially, prayerfully, to help support the radio program. This is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are able to reach most of the United States as well as North Africa through your faithful partnership with us financially and prayerfully. We look forward to hearing from you and trust the Lord to direct you along those lines. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Until next time, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.